Hello and welcome to the IDK My BFF Jill podcast. I'm your host Jill, and I don't know jack, but not for real. I'm here to learn more about life by being curious about others and being vulnerable about myself. I'm talking to people from all walks of my life because despite the world being big, we all know it's also very small, and you never know when that gem will be dropped that will allow you to grow. So let's go.
You're going to forget about being sick.
Ladies and gentlemen, I am here with Sadiq Hussein, who's healing me already. And we haven't even the official start of the episode. Sadiq, thank you so much for being here. Sadiq is a business and mindset coach. He's a podcast host, and he's a content creator who was a former shy boy, self-proclaimed, but now called an action man because he takes lots of bold actions in his life. His passion and purpose is helping other people, uplifting people, which he's already doing with me, not even 2 minutes into our call. He's a TEDx speaker, and his podcast focuses on mindset and confidence, servant leadership. And he's been featured in Yahoo, London Chambers, Coach Global and Marketing and Asian magazines. Just super impressive. Sadiq, thank you so much for being on the IDK My BFF Jill podcast. I really appreciate you being here.
Thank you for having me here, Jillian. I appreciate you. And I know that by the end of this conversation, you'll be healed from whatever you are going through. But at the same time, like, I'm genuinely grateful that, you know, how we connected.
Yeah.
We're going to go deeper into it, of course. Yeah. But just thank you for asking me to be on the podcast. Thank you for allowing me to have this space today to serve your community, your audiences, and just give my best to whoever's listening right now.
Awesome. That's one thing I love about you. You start with gratitude, you create the space. I think that's something that you and I both connect on. And you do that for other people. So let's start off a little bit, you know, tell me about your coaching business, how it came about and who you aim to serve and why.
Wow. Okay, cool. That's like loads of things thrown at me. But yeah, no, sounds good. I think going back to the beginning, you know, I genuinely I always say to people now, I found my purpose in coaching after failing a lot, you know, like after doing many things, trialing a lot of things and just miserably making a lot of mistakes. So today, one of the things that a lot of people know me for is like just messy action. I'd rather do messy action, like just put it all out there, you know, make the content, do the podcast, speak to people, have conversations, and the messy action will lead to something good. It always does. So for me, I just, you know, I was always obviously shy going back, right? I was super shy, couldn't speak to a woman, had a few friends. All I used to do is play Call of Duty, go to work in the bank, come back home, eat, sleep, repeat. That's basically my story in a nutshell. Okay. Because of this, you know, I was, and we're going to go into this later, but to answer the coaching business thing specifically, like I just tried a lot of other businesses and I worked with a lot of friends and I just wanted to find what is it that's my calling, right? And I was working at the bank at the time. And I remember about 6 months in, a friend of mine called me and on the 12th of September, 2014 at 5:33 p.m. with 17 seconds to go. And he made me write that day and the time and everything down. He's like, Sadiq, I'm going to show you something. It's going to change your life. And I've never like seen my friend so excited. And you know, when you just sense someone's energy and you just get pumped, you just get excited. You don't know why, but you're just excited. Like, why is he excited? I want to be in that energy. So he just said, we need to meet. I said, all right, I'm free on Friday. Let's meet. Met for hot chocolate. We sat down. He's like, Sadiq, write this date and time down right now because it's going to change your life. I was like, what the hell are you talking about? Can you just tell me what you're on? And he said, he opened up the book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And he just went to one page. He just showed me the cash flow quadrant. He called it the cycle of life.
Yes.
And after he showed me that page and explained it to me and really made me deeply understand it, that was the first moment when I had a paradigm shift in, like, that was my first moment into business before coaching. So then, you know, he was like, we're going to do something. We're going to create an online business, an e-commerce thing. We're going to do this together, blah, blah, blah. And I was just like thinking, first time in my life, somebody has shown me something that's exciting, that reminded me of my dream, which as we get older, right, we forget about our dream. We don't even know what it is. Nowadays, you see people talking about, like, hear the word dream, and they're already so, like, they're already so scared. Oh, what do you mean? I don't have a dream. What dream? Dreams are for kids.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's not. We all had a dream from a young age. And for most people, they just have lost it along the journey. So anyway, long story short, we did this thing with my friend. We started this online e-commerce thing. Did that with him for 4.5 years. made money, lost money, built a team, lost teams. Mm-hmm. So I went through that whole process of figuring out, is that for me? Like, did I enjoy it? Did I have fun? And I did. You know, we went to a lot of events. We got to travel a little bit. It was so cool. It was so much fun. And that was, as I said, my journey into personal development from that day onwards. And being the shy person that I was, going through the process of personal development, even when I didn't feel like reading the books, my friend forced me to read the books and said, they will change your life, Sadiq. Just read the books. I know you're a visual learner, but these specific books, read them, go through them. You will learn intellectually as well. Your English will become better. Your language will become better, et cetera, et cetera. So I just started staying on that learning journey, and I kind of got personal development, like addiction.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, I just wanted to be so, what's next? What's the next book? What's the next book? And I was just so into it. I was like, these books actually keep me excited and keep me going. And then that's when I started speaking at some events at that time here in London. And then this was when the moment really happened. When people come up to you after an event, after you come off stage, and they're like, oh my gosh, that one thing you said, give me the big paradigm shift. That one thing you shared, Sadiq, your energy, your confidence, the way you say things, the way you're just so simple in your language. You said something that really shifted my perspective. And that, for me, you know, the feedback from others, coming from someone that was super shy and never thought, you know, I'm going to be doing what I do now, it makes a big difference. You know, like, it really hit me in the heart and just made me realize this is my calling. Like, people are saying to me, Sadiq, you should, my actual friends were telling me at the time, Sadiq, you should go into coaching. You should figure out some kind of mentoring thing. You should go into that journey because you're really good at it and speaking. And I was just like, oh, I don't know. I'm not really sure. But I felt it on that day from the audience, right? From the people that I spoke to. And, you know, you have those one-on-one conversations and people say, man, you said something and you really changed my life. And I'm like, yeah, but I didn't really change your life. You just had the paradigm shift. Now you're about to go and change your life.
Yeah.
I was just a vessel. I was just a communicator. And I always say this, I'm just a signpost. I'm just the messenger. I share with you the message and you go and do whatever you like with it. You either like me or you don't. The truth is, because of the level of mentality that I've kind of grown into today, I don't care about your opinions about me. I love me. I know I'm a good person. I know that I'm kind. I know that I'm good. I know that I'm doing, like, I'm serving humanity. So when someone comes along and all the negative people, energy, vampires, all of these people that have come into my life and said, you can't do it, it's not going to work, stop it, is, you know, stop wasting your money, etc., I just blocked them out. I just had to block them out and focus on my calling, my purpose, which was, again, coming now to the coaching practice. When I was like, okay, they're all telling me to do coaching and speaking, how do I do this? Because I've never done it, and I don't have a coach, I don't have mentors. I follow people online that I can learn from, but I don't really know how to do this. So just like everybody does, we go into Google and we type in how to grow a coaching business. Dosh, dosh, dosh.
Literally.
That's exactly what happened. Bosh, bosh, bosh. How to grow a coaching business. I just typed in best coaches in the world, and stuff like that. And I started following these people that I found. And then one particular coach who I genuinely have learned most of my coaching frameworks from, mentality, mindset, growth, the way to structure your practice. And this one man called Rich Litvin, he wrote a book called A Prosperous Coach.
Okay.
And again, personal development, right? I was like, let me get the book. The book will teach me something that will help me grow my practice and do it the right way. Because the thing is, as well, along that journey, I had to find someone that I resonate with.
Yeah.
Like, you know, right? You've done the podcast for a while now and you've like met so many people and had so many deep conversations. When someone doesn't, you don't vibe off their energy, you don't feel like they're legit, something, you feel like you have some doubts about this person. I feel that from people's social media profiles. I know it's weird, but I've been in social media for 10 years, so I've kind of seen a lot of things. And I just feel people's energy through their videos, through photos of them. I just kind of get a vibe of who they kind of are. So I don't fully like judge them, but I kind of just go off the vibe. I kind of go off a video or a photo vibe, or even like some people's bio. I can just tell if they're an emoji person like me, it resonates. If they're not, and I'm like, nah, the person's probably a bit serious. There's no emojis, no fun, no creativity. And that's good for them, but that's just not my people, right?
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, then I started reading that book. And again, another paradigm shift happened when I read that book. It gave me the answers that I was looking for. So I started following Rich, going to the website, you know, started watching YouTube videos. Then I found a few other people along the journey. And I just started taking everything that I felt was like resonating with me. And I just created it in my own way, tailor-made to how I want to serve. And I just created a program, just thought, okay, how do I do this? 3 months, 6 months, 12 months,
yep.
Put it together. Let me see what I can give. What can I offer? What have I learned in the last, you know, X amount of years that I can genuinely, like, I know confidently that I can help people with? And it was always the thing to do with confidence, with, you know, making videos online, with building meaningful relationships and not expecting things from people. These were the things, these were the skills that I learned along the journey that made me really good at what I do, at being a unique coach, not just like everybody else. There's millions of coaches. How can I stand out?
Right.
So that's kind of like the story of how I got into coaching and how I found that to be my purpose. Because I actually think, and a lot of people say this, but they don't really mean it, I believe that I always was born a coach. Because my whole life, I loved helping people. Always. All my friends loved me because anytime they needed positivity, they come to me. Because they know Sadiq won't be negative. He will actually support us and care and have love for us and give us that space, be patient with us. So I always had it in me, but I just didn't know what it was called, you know, because it wasn't really something big when I was growing up, right? Mm-hmm. And also, I'm not someone who went to, like, university, and I'm not the smartest when it comes to education.
Yeah.
I'm more street smart. So I can sense people. I can sense energy. I'm a deep empath. So I can feel people's energy, take their energy and hold that space, and then give them solutions to what they're struggling with. So that's kind of like, in a nutshell, to answer your question, like how I found my purpose in coaching and speaking.
And now that's how you found yourself in coaching, and now that you've been in your coaching business for quite some time, you know, you say that you focus on coaching spiritual and introverted entrepreneurs, right? So you're coaching people who are much like yourself, or who you used to be, I guess, because you're not so introverted anymore, but you're coaching spiritual and introverted entrepreneurs to build their own coaching businesses or any kind of business. Is it any kind of business? Tell me a little bit more about
it's any,
that you work with.
So it's any spiritual or introverted or both entrepreneurs. So the reason why I specifically kept it at that is because after growing the practice, my practice now for 4.5 years, I just, from all the clients that I've served and the testimonies that I got, it kind of led me now in the last few years to realize these two traits is what all of my clients had.
Mm-hmm.
They were either introverted, so they came to me to gain confidence and believe in themselves and put themselves out into the camera and onto social media, or it was the fact that they were quite spiritual, but they don't know how to do business. Because a lot of spiritual people are just deep and they care and they really want to serve and they're really, really good at what they do. They just don't have the business mindset.
Right.
They don't know how to create a package and then sell, for example. They don't know how to communicate with people when it comes to outbound and building relationships to create clients. So that's the stuff that the spiritual people I found was struggling with. And I learned from my own business experience, the sales psychology and all of the other hacks that I've learned and the tips and tricks. So that's why I came. And I think this is the hard part with most coaches. The beginning when they start, we just think we can serve everyone. Like, I've started my business. Everybody, I'm ready. I'm open for coaching.
I'm here for you, anyone.
Yeah, anybody, please come. I'm here to help you. I'm here to serve you. I don't think it's a bad thing at all. I think that it's just everybody starts there, and you should start there to find your feet and find out who do you really love to serve. Who is your ideal, genuine, like, dream client? If someone was to pay you 100K right now, who would that person look like? Who would they be? Because again, there's many other mindset shifts that has to happen along the journey in terms of how much you charge. Are you confident telling people how much you charge? Are you confident sharing what you do with people? Because a lot of coaches, because they're quite deep, because they are in the business of helping people, they just find it hard to navigate and sell themselves to others because they feel a bit icky about it. They feel a bit salesy, and we don't want to come across wrong, Sadiq. So that's why I started teaching people like manifesting and attracting clients and creating clients rather than trying to get everyone.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get new clients, Sadiq. I'm trying to get that person and get that. I'm like, that's the wrong word. It's the wrong mindset to have. You should be putting out so much value into the universe that people are drawn to you. So even if you do message them, they come and see your profile. They see that you're a cool guy or woman doing something amazing in the world and that you are being of service, and they feel some energy from you. And because of the energy, they'll reply to you.
Mm-hmm.
And then you connect on a deeper level and take it from there. But initially, I found my tribe of spiritual and introvert. And it's a kind of, to be honest with you, it's like a mix of past and future. Because introvert was me before, right? And so I want to help the people that where I used to be. the spiritual world is now becoming a lot more known in the terms of business, in the kind of entrepreneurial space. Now people are talking about spiritual leadership, and it's very different to religion. Like it's not, there are similar attributes, of course, but you can separate it from religion. So it's universal for everybody to understand on a more conscious level. So I think that's how I kind of designed it for now. It's like spiritual or introverted. Because if you're like the old me, I can still heal you and help you. And if you're the future version of, well, present and future version of where I want to be, then I also want to serve you on that too, because I'm on that journey and I can probably teach you something that you don't already know.
And do you customize each program to each of your clients? If they're the spiritual kind, then they choose how long of a program it is? Or how does that look? What does that relationship look like?
So, it's always tailor-made. It's always bespoke and tailored for every single client. It's always different. But the time periods are the same.
Okay.
I only have three packages. So it's either like you work with me for 3 months, 6 months, or a whole year.
Uh-huh.
And so it depends, because some people say, Sadiq, you know what? We're growing our business. We have our 5-year plan, for example. We need you for a year. For the first year, I really need your support, your guidance. I know you can help me with this. So can I just hire you for the whole year? Great. Let's do that. No problem. Some people just say they're not sure. Like, they like you. They believe in you. They think that they can trust you and work with you. But they're kind of trying to test the water. So most people work with you for 3 months.
Got it.
But to be honest with you, Jillian, I've realized something along my 4.5-year journey.
What is that?
All of my clients tend to just leave me after 3 months because they don't need me.
Need you anymore.
Because
so
I'm
you're
like,
doing a good job.
Yeah. And I don't say it in like an arrogant way or to kind of brag about what I do, but I genuinely know that I'm so good at what I do because it's my calling. It's my purpose.
Yeah.
That after 3 months, it's like, Tariq, you've bloody clear. You actually healed us and got us out of the struggles that we've had in 3 months. So we actually don't need you no more. If we want to, we'll always come back, and they always know where I am, and they always stay in touch with me anyways.
Yeah.
A lot of my past clients have actually just become friends as well, because they kind of relate to you. They're similar age, some of them. And so a lot of them, they genuinely just are in my space, and they became good friends. And some of them, obviously, they get busy with life. They get busy with business. Oh. So they carry on going, and that's okay. But I think the main thing is finding what's best for them. It's not about me and my money and what I can take from them. It's more about, hey, where are you right now? What are you struggling with? How long do you believe it's going to take for you to heal from that? Or let's just start with the 3 months if you're feeling uncomfortable for the long term. Let's just start 3 months. We can always upgrade it after that.
I love it. I think any one of us who works in any kind of sphere where we're serving other people, the ideal client is the one that becomes a friend at the end, right? Mm. Like, and it happens naturally. Those are the most rewarding relationships in any kind of service-oriented, relationship. I have so many things running through my brain. I wrote lots of notes here while you were talking. Because it's so funny. You and I are so similar, but so different at the same time.
Yeah.
I think that personal development addiction that you mentioned, and addiction to growth, is why we're even having this conversation, right? Like, that's why I started my podcast, because I wanted to grow myself, be more curious, be more vulnerable, talk to other people. But at the same time, we're different in a sense of, you're like, I have this idea of messy action. And my whole persona is organized action, right?
Yeah. Like, yeah.
No, but we're both taking action, but we're just doing it from different.
But just to clarify as well, I'm a perfectionist by nature. So nice. But this is the thing that I've learned along my journey. And I think, you know, your listeners will really get value from this one, just this one little concept that I had to learn it the hard way. But I believe we all learn through the process of doing and doing the action. So I learned this because I realized along my whole life, like, I've always been a perfectionist. I just prefer the word quality. Like, I just like quality.
Yeah.
I like people. I like first impression. So I always want to make a good first impression, because that's the first thing that people judge you on. And because I was never, you know, I was raised, and because I didn't go to university and I'm not the smartest person, for me, the only way I can stand out is to either look the best.
Yes.
Or to like confidently be like, the energy that I portray is different to everybody else. Because people are more enticed to be around me. And then start asking me questions.
Right.
Then they find out that I'm not educated, and they know that then I'm like, you didn't go university. But then they're like, actually, you know what? Like, it doesn't matter. Though, you're really good at what you do. How did you become so good?
Yes.
It's the practice. It's why I have this frame in behind me when I used to do my podcast as well, because it reminds me of the iceberg, you know, like, of success. Yep. Nobody sees all the hard work, the patience, the doubts, you know, the late nights. They always see the top thing, like the highlights on Instagram. They see the success.
Right.
But the one key thing I want everyone to remember is I always talk about 97% be a perfectionist, be quality oriented, be so like profound and amazing at what you do, and just leave the 3% for messy action. Mm-hmm. Leave the 3% to fail, to make mistakes, to just messy action, throw it out there. You might get a little letter wrong, the color might be off, something might not be perfect, but there is no such thing as perfection. There genuinely is not. The only thing that we must focus on is the 97% of the things that we can control, and yeah, just leave 3% to just fail, to make mistakes, just messy action, throw it out there. You will learn to just make every single like process better along the journey, but it will never be 100%. Let's just make it clear. Never, ever. There was no such thing as 100%.
No, I totally agree. That's something that took a lot of time for me personally to accept. I think that especially when you, for me, like I'm the oldest daughter, you know, children of immigrants, that whole thing, there is not a lot of room for mistakes, right? And the more you put that pressure and that container on yourself, the more likely you are to make mistakes, because we are only, yeah, only human. Another thing that you mentioned earlier, you're like, I'm just a vessel. And I totally agree with you. I think that's something that I've come to realize as well. But I want to talk a little bit about, I guess the word that was ringing for me is ego. You know, for you, what is the, is ego good or bad? And then like, how does confidence play into that? Where's the line between being confident and being egotistical?
Yeah, they say, right, the fine line between confidence, yes, and ego. And I think it's very true. I personally don't like ego. I don't think people should tap into it or use it for any kind of good. I really do think it's a negative trait. I really think that we have to all, and by the way, as human nature, we all have ego, every, yeah, single one of us. Along the journey, we all, some of us just heal and find a way to navigate past it and find the confidence and humility over the ego. But some people just stay egotistical for the rest of their life. Like some of the bankers I used to work with, you know, like they were always very arrogant, always, yeah, very egotistical. They think they know better than everyone else. And recently I started like making a lot of videos about that. Like people think they know better than everyone else. I've met coaches, I've met mentors, I've met successful entrepreneurs who think they're better than everyone else. And the only ones that I like surrounding myself with right now are the ones with humbleness, humility, servant leadership, kindness, positivity, empathy, compassion. These are the types of entrepreneurs and just humans that I surround myself with. Because I think as soon as you can't work around healing from arrogance and healing from your own ego, it's stopping us from growth.
Mm-hmm.
The day that we stop, the day, as I like to say in the English terminology, right, they say in Britain, flush your ego down the toilet. And the reason why I like that, it's just direct, but it's, yeah, to some people it makes sense, and to others it's like it's a bit rude. It's not.
No.
Your ego is, they say ego is the enemy. It is the enemy. That's why you should flush it down the toilet and learn to have humility, learn to be humble, learn to be honorable and kind and honest. And I think part of that is like the way my upbringing, right? Like just my parents have instilled that into me. Always give charity, always be kind, always smile, always help others when you can. All of that kind of goodness that I was raised with, that I'm blessed with and I'm grateful for. But at the same time, the rest came from my own personal development. It came from my own self-love healing. It came from my own self-care, from my own just inner healing, the things, all the insecurities that I had, all the shyness that I had within me, the worries and the opinions that I cared too much about others. When I healed from all of those, slowly I started recognizing in my own, literally like my physical being, when I'm communicating with others, I started sensing me. And I was even talking to myself at some point, being like, wow, Sadiq, like, you were never like that, you know, like you was always the one that would like used to brag to my friend, oh, look at me, I'm amazing, I got this thing, I got my TED talk, yeah, look at me. But for me, when I realized that the labels that we've been given or that we give ourselves doesn't actually matter, it's nonsense. And today I don't like, that's why when I meet with people on LinkedIn, sometimes I connect with people and they're like, oh my gosh, Sadiq is so like so amazing. Thank you so much for reaching out. What, we're so like honored to be reached out by you. You know why? The day I changed my LinkedIn bio in 2020 after I did my TED talk, the, yeah, day I changed it is when people started respecting me more. As a young person, as a young entrepreneur,
when you added TEDx speaker to your title?
That's it. As soon as I added the TEDx speaker to my that label to my title, to my bio across social media, everybody loves me now. Everybody wants to be my best friend. Everybody thinks I'm famous and I'm some millionaire suddenly, you know?
I don't know if you've listened to, but the episode that I just published yesterday or Wednesday, my last interview with a gentleman named Jimmy DeFalco. He has a mindset coaching business as well that's focused on fathers, because wow. He went from addiction and a Wolf of Wall Street lifestyle to recovery and fatherhood. But he also did a TEDx talk and we had the same conversation. He was like, you know, anyone can do a TEDx talk. Anyone.
Yep.
And it's crazy how that perception, as soon as you put that title in there, it automatically legitimizes you. Oh, So this dude knows what he's talking about because he spoke on TED, like he had a TEDx talk. And it goes, it's all about perception. And I want to bring that back to the fact that the first perception that you need to have is that you need to believe in yourself, right? Yeah. You need to believe that you are the number one person, and not in an egotistical way, but in a confident way, right? So that you can be the vessel that you need to be to deliver whatever message that is. I want to ask you 100%. Quickly about your self-love healing journey and what that looked like, if you're willing to share, because I'm very like methodical, right? So like, I'm like, when I was going through my journey, I made lists, I wrote out journal prompts. It was very, you know, I guess kind of organized in a way, yet it was also quite messy because art was truly therapy. You know, I started painting, became an artist, and that was part of my healing journey. So it was a lot of writing, a lot of self-reflection, a lot of reading and painting. That was my self-love healing journey. What did yours look like?
So I think mine was, there's two things that I think really helped me. The first part was the movement part.
Mm.
Like when I started incorporating movement and fitness and exercise into my life,
mm-hmm.
I started releasing negativity. I started releasing anger, frustrations of my life. You know, the people that didn't believe in me, the people that were dragging me down, the people who thought I'm not going to make it, and all the negative energy vampires around me. I wanted to just prove them wrong. So I used that fuel that I had within me. You have to kind of, you know, distinguish the difference, right, between your anger and how you can how I can stay in control of my anger, mm-hmm. rather than letting it take over my whole being and my consciousness. Mm-hmm. So I was, I guess, pretty when I think back to it now, like when I was growing up, because I didn't go to university, I always in my family was looked at as the odd, you know, black sheep, right, the different one, the guy that, you know, he's different, he's weird, he's not going to make it, you know, right. Just get a job and stick to your job kind of thing. So when I started looking into self-love, and I always talk about self-love also from a male perspective, because I feel like number one, generically people just talk about self-love, but you know, if you look at the facts, majority of the female like leaders out there all talk about self-love.
Yes.
Almost like it's so hard to find a male to speak about self-love. So when I started speaking openly about it, like self-love and why I believe in myself, why I'm so confident, how I became like this, how I grew to this stage and I wasn't born like this.
Yeah.
It genuinely was through the coaches and mentors that I had, speaking to them through conversations. It was through, again, personal development has genuinely shifted so many. I would read something or I'd listen to an audiobook and I'll constantly have these like light bulb moments, boom, 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 just going off. And every time I have one, it's almost like I'm diminishing like the anger or the frustration or the negativity or the people that hated on me or even sometimes my own self-doubt, you know? And so every time
you were rewiring the neurons in your brain, one book, one audio book at a time, you were like disconnecting, something that used to be connected, a trigger that might have been. And then you replaced it with something new. So a lot of reading, coaches and mentors, you said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, coaches, mentors. I think events really helped me because I used to go to a lot of personal development events. So, you know, just being around energy is the most important thing. Being around good energy. And the events gave me that because I saw like-minded brown and black people like me. And I was thinking, you know, like this is, if my own type of people are around me and they are so confident and believe in themselves and they're so excited about their vision and their dreams, I started thinking to myself, if they can do it, I can do it. And I think it was that, and that's another shift, right? When you start having, like you said, those moments of you're layering the neurons in your brain and you're constantly evolving and shedding away the past traumas and the the negativity and all the kind of hate that I got in my life to start being having more grace and having more grit and having more confidence in myself by saying, Sadiq, you know what? You are enough. You are going to make it. You can do whatever you set your mind to. You should believe in yourself and consistently take action every single day. You should always just focus on your lane and not worry about what everyone else is doing. Because majority of my life, Julian, all I used to care about is what other people will think about me. But the day that paradigm shift, everything changed. For me, it was a day where I came back from an event and I sat here literally on my chair and I was just thinking to myself, Sadiq, why are you being so selfish? This was about 2 years into my personal development journey. Mm-hmm. I just came here after an event. I came here and I was just thinking to myself, reflecting in the evenings as I like to do before bed. And I just was thinking, I basically asked myself, Sadiq, why are you being selfish? Meaning I was reading so many things, right? And I was learning so much from personal development and these events. And I was thinking, there's another shy kid out there somewhere that's waiting for you to share this knowledge and wisdom and the confidence that you've got now. And you're just sitting in your room being selfish, not sharing that those lessons and that energy with the world, not making video content so someone can be inspired through you, the vessel, to find their answers. And I just thought, in that moment, I literally answered my own question. I was like, I've had enough. Like, it was literally a switch. I literally physically, like, in my head, just flicked a switch. And it was like, that's it, Sadiq. From today, you're going to start making videos and put yourself out there. And always reminded myself, Sadiq, you're doing it for the kid out there that is shy and introverted and who wants to do something more purposeful in their life. But they just keep worrying about other people's opinions. Keep worrying about their parents' opinions and how they've been raised. They don't change the narrative. They keep like beating themselves up when they don't need to. They can genuinely heal from it. And it will take some time to learn and to go deeper into personal development. Because personal development it's called self-development, right? Like it's about you growing into and evolving into a better version of yourself. So if you don't learn to become the best version of yourself, then you're just staying the same. You're staying stagnant. You're not gonna differently, right?
No, not at all. The growth is how we know we're living, right? If that's it's with ups and it's with downs and it's with changes that we figure out that we're actually doing something with this time that we've been given here on this planet. I want to bring it back to God, there's so many things I want to ask you. First of all, okay, I'll start with this one. You give so much energy. I'm sure everyone that's listening in my community right now can feel your energy just from listening to you. What do you do for yourself to give it back to yourself? Because I feel you're such a giver. You're giving your all right now. But it's important to replenish your own cup. So what does that routine or what does that practice look like for you?
Awesome question. And I think it's an important one. I think a lot of people hopefully will get value from the way I recharge as someone, like you said, genuinely who is a giver, who just pours my energy to every single person every single day. I don't take breaks. I don't, you know, like every day I do what I do to serve someone, because my mission was to help at least one person through my content, through a conversation, through meeting them randomly in the coffee shop. So the first way that I like to replenish, and it might sound weird when I say it, but it really does, it's my self-care, is when I go to the gym. It's my mm-hmm. gym time. The mm-hmm. 1 hour that I get to myself that nobody can distract me because my phone is switched off.
Yeah.
The 1 hour that I can just give myself, Sadiq, this is for you. Go into the gym. And my motto or my mantra for going into the gym every single day or 5 days a week is, you're going to go into the gym, Sadiq. You're going to give your best. You're going to have a lot of fun and you're going to make whatever you do creative. That's it. It was never, I want to get a six pack. Mm-hmm. I need to shed this much fat. Yeah. There was never a number or a goal or a target for the gym. So when I meet people now and they see some of the crazy stuff I do, someone asked me the other day in the gym, Sadiq, like not Sadiq, they didn't know me. They just kind of come up to me in the ring area, the boxing ring. But I was rolling around doing some crazy stuff and they would come up to me in the ring on the side of the corner. I just kind of saw them. I was like, hey, are you okay? He's like, yeah, we just want to ask you something. I was like, what's that? What are you training for?
You're like, life, bro.
I said exactly that, Jillian. He goes, I swear to you, I literally said that. He comes up to me and he goes, mate, I just want to ask you, like, what are you training for? Like, you're doing some wicked, like, crazy stuff. It's not like a positive way I'm trying to say that. I literally just said, life, bro. Literally those words. I said, life, bro. And he goes, what do you mean? I go, Why do we have to train for something?
Right.
Why can't we just train for life? This is my lifestyle. I come to the gym 5 days a week, just like you brush your teeth. I have to come to the gym. It's my time to rejuvenate and recover my mind, body, and soul. And that's also where the aspect of my coaching came in.
Yeah.
Because I knew that exercise is important. It helps me function, be more creative, be more productive, take more action, become more confident in myself. If anything, it was the biggest highlight to my confidence. Because the day my body started changing and I started becoming stronger, I just felt powerful.
Yeah.
It's an internal thing that just happens. Guy or girl, it doesn't matter. Like, it's an internal thing that mentally will happen to you, physically will start changing. And spiritually, it's a whole game changer, because you start learning about yourself in such a unique way. But anyways, bringing it back, exercise is the first thing, right?
Yeah.
Number one, like, I have to make sure that I get exercise, because that self-care time for me is self-love. It's me looking after my body, because I need this guy to function, yeah, to help as many people as I can for the longest period of time.
Right.
So that's the first thing. The second thing is also sleep, to prioritize my sleep. So I was telling you earlier, right, I'm a night owl.
Yeah.
So I tend to go to sleep a lot more later in the evening. But when I go to sleep, I'm that guy that doesn't wake up until the morning. Right. You know, like, I've gone straight for that 6-7 hours.
Yeah.
I'm gone straight, and I won't wake up to pee, nothing. I'm out, because I've given everything during the day.
So my body's exhausted.
I'm exhausted, and my body just needs that pure rest to rejuvenate my soul. So that's the second thing. Sleep. I think I speak to so many clients, so many people every single day, and they always say they're anxious, they're depressed, they have loads of troubles, they have loads of traumas, they have loads of things that they're going through, a lot of like panic in their life, a lot of like uncertainty. And I'm just like, first question I ask them, do you sleep? How many hours do you sleep? And they're like, we can't sleep, so it keeps us up at night. Okay, then we go deeper, of course, and figure out why and what are they thinking about at night, what's going on in their life, etc. But I think once I've solved the sleeping problem for them, they start thanking me later. They start like, oh my gosh, Sadiq, like, the most simple things in life are actually the way we can change our life. Sleep, so exercise, drink water, like all of the most simple things.
That's the reminder I think that everyone needs to hear. And that's why, you know, you alluded to it before, but when you did that talk and one person came up to you and they were like, that one thing you said that changed my mind or whatever was amazing. That's exactly why I do this. I just felt like I was having so many conversations with friends, with people that I have met, and in regular conversations, there'd be one line that dropped in this gem. And I was like, oh my God, you know, I wish we were recording that, because I don't want to forget. And it only takes one thing to change for that paradigm shift. I wanted to bring it back to the fact that you were like, it was a switch for you, right? When you said that you were, what was it? The confidence, right, thing.
Yeah.
It's so interesting, because for me, I had a similar situation. It was like a switch, but what we don't realize is that there was a slow build up to that switch.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. It was definitely all those little things, drinking water, sleeping, going to the gym, reading the books. Slow build to finally that switch being able to be flipped. So while it was an instant, which is crazy, right? Because it's like, we're searching for that moment. We're waiting for that moment. We never know when it's going to come. Is this a futile effort? I'm working. Nothing's clicking. Nothing's changing. But at the same time, our bodies, our minds need to be in alignment with like our fate, our story, our destiny, whatever you might call it, so that we are ready for that switch to flip. At the right moment. And it won't come before and it won't come after. It will come exactly at the right time that it needs to happen. I want to bring it back to also, you mentioned before that it was like you were in these events with other Black and Brown people who were like-minded. And I think that that's one of the reasons I was really excited to talk to you, is because as Brown people ourselves, right? Our cultures don't promote seeking help. At least, you know, I'm speaking from a Filipino culture. You can tell me about yours, but you know, especially my parents and those in my culture, it's like you deal with your problems, you don't talk about them, you know, you figure it out on your own. You put your head down, you grind, you work hard, and you're depressed. What are you depressed about? You have food on the table. And this is and I did not grow up in a household that was safe to talk. Like, you know, I did not have parents who were like, tell me how you feel. Because if you were to open your mouth or say something, you're probably going to face something else than support. So Tell me a little bit about, like, you know, and then so here you and I are as a coach and as a consultant helping other people when our cultures and our identities are kind of counterintuitive to that, because they tell us to solve it all on your own and we're out here helping people. So tell me a little bit about, like, your childhood and your family structure, what they taught you about help, what they taught you about healing, and how you kind of reconcile, you know, whatever journey you went through to end up to where you are today now as a brown coach.
I think 100% is so similar. Like, genuinely, everything you said is the same.
Your background again is what?
My parents are from Bangladesh.
Bangladesh.
And I was born and raised here in London in the UK. And the culture is the same. And I say this about most cultures, actually. Most cultural backgrounds, like ethnic background and nationalities of people, it's very similar. Like, the culture, of course, is different, the food and everything, but the mentality of the culture, the tribal kind of culture, that mentality is the same. It's about, you know, looking after yourself. Like, you've got food, shelter, we've given you all these things. Why are you still upset? Why are you still complaining? Why are you still moaning? Why are you still going through challenges? If you need anything, you know we're here.
Yeah.
But it's like, yes, we know you're there, mom. But you're going to smack us when we come to you, right? You're going to smack us and tell us to, like, figure out our own problems. And you're old enough now to go and do this yourself. And so I'm glad that you brought this up, because I think a lot of people get value from it. The importance of just basically asking for help, but it doesn't have to be from your parents. It doesn't have to be from your loved ones. I think this is what the cultural mentality has done to us anyways, from a young, like from our childhood, is we've been raised in that culture to have discipline, have believe in yourself, go and do it yourself, be independent. But we're kind of here looking after you. You know, we're going to pay the bills and do everything for you, but study hard and get a good job and make money and make us proud, and then eventually get married, have kids, and then you can move out and buy a house and all this stuff. And they gave us their, like, the life they want for us, not the one that we want for ourselves. And as the generations are changing and the people's mindsets are also evolving, they're slowly getting a lot better. But I think still, because we were already raised like that, we're doing all the work to freaking, you know, to just get rid of it now.
You're carrying it.
Exactly. We literally have been carrying that baggage for so long. And only now, after personal development and finding our purpose, we start figuring out, and we're starting to remove some of the rocks slowly from the baggage. And as it gets lighter and lighter and lighter, we feel a lot more fulfilled. We start feeling inner peace. We start feeling a lot more independent and confident in ourselves. But again, it's a lot of work, right? Personal development, working on yourself, finding these coaches and mentors, looking for these like-minded souls in the world. Today, I call them gems, because I think they're like gems. When you find them, keep them close. Put them into a little group and keep them together. That's what I've been doing.
Yeah.
Because I think when you find those good souls and those good people in the world, you don't want them to slip. You don't want to lose them. Just like a precious stone, you want to keep close. You want to keep those people close, because that's the space that you can be yourself. That's the space you can talk about your challenges and obstacles and struggles, vulnerabilities and all this stuff. And if you can't find those people, start searching for them. They don't magically come to you. You know, life is not a magic show. You can't just sit there and do law of attraction when you don't take action. Half of the word, right? Action in attraction. So if you don't go out there and you don't go and seek those people by going to events, by finding networking meetings, by going on LinkedIn and Instagram and start finding your tribe, then you can't really heal from, you know, number one, where you're stuck right now. And number two, the upbringing and the childhood and the traumas that you have, you will never heal from them, because you're not doing the work, and you're not taking the steps for you to progress and to heal and to no longer have that old school mentality from the culture. Create a new identity for yourself, find yourself, find your brilliance, and then focus on moving forwards. It's one step at a time. You don't just jump ahead, right? It's like one baby step at a time. You got to find yourself. You got to find that self-love, and it will come from that self-discovery of learning about who you are, your personality type, your energy. Like, I remember when the first time we connected, right? You were telling me about Sadiq. I just can't have empathy. I was like, what do you mean you can't have empathy? That I've never heard anyone say that to me.
Doesn't come naturally.
Yeah. But when you made it more clear, then I was like, okay, cool. But it just made me, as a coach, right? And just as a curious person.
Yeah.
I want to know why.
Yeah.
Like, I would not charge you. I just want to know why and how you cannot have what I have, like naturally, like that deep empath. So like if I see someone crying, I want to go and ask them for help. I want to go and ask them for support. Mm-mm. Yeah, like, but that just, I, you know, that's us. Like, we just go and we just want to help because we just almost feel like crying with them. To just
are you? Oh no, we don't feel like that. By we mean okay.
Yeah, me.
But you, the empath. I want to ask if your family, what is your family's take on your business and your lifestyle now? Because for me, you know, my parents, again, like you were saying, they gave us the dream and the path that they wanted for us because it was the path that they needed to survive. My parents have never believed in whatever entrepreneurial thing I was doing. They were like, this is a bad idea. They weren't like, don't do it, but they were always like, this is a bad idea, whatever. But it wasn't until later, right, once I've proven myself, once I was on the cover of the San Francisco Asian Journal magazine, right, once I was whatever, then it was like, oh, have you seen my daughter Jillian?
Yeah,
whatever.
Exact same.
That they never under, like, my mom's biggest fear is that I don't have a steady paycheck. Like, I don't have a W-2 job, right? Where like every 2 weeks there is a steady paycheck. She does not understand the entrepreneurial lifestyle. They don't ever support me in the beginning, but then they're catching my freaking tailwinds on the end when I am quote unquote successful in their eyes. Do you have a similar experience with
exactly
with
your the family? Same? Exactly. So I told you, Bangladeshi, Filipino, yeah, like Indian, like yeah, all the same.
Yeah.
The thing is, and this, my mentor taught me this, right? He said, just because your parents love you, it doesn't mean they give you good advice.
No, that's a gem.
Just because your parents love you doesn't mean they give you good advice. So respect them, but you don't have to take their advice. Mm. Don't be rude. Don't be arrogant. Don't, you know, talk back to them, but respect them, nod your head, walk away, ignore them. And you don't have to take that advice. You continue to do your own independent thing. So yeah, exactly the same as mine. When I started my entrepreneurial journey, my first thing my mom said is, you're going to waste your time. You're going to waste your energy. You're going to waste your money. How much did you pay to go to that event? You're wasting your money. What the hell are you doing? That can go to the bills. That can go to other things. I was just like, yeah, you're never going to get it, mom. One day I'll prove to you. And it's like you said, I believe the cultural, like, entrepreneurs who come from that kind of that ethnicity,
yes,
or that kind of that migrant background, I think the biggest fuel for us is trying to prove to our parents that we are going to make it. Like, just trying to prove to them, like, we just constantly do our best. In the back of our mind, I want to make my mom proud. I want to make my dad proud. I want to make my family proud. I'm doing this for them, to prove to them that I can do this. And they only, as you know, they only start supporting and believing in you when they see results. So that's why I always tell new entrepreneurs, keep your mouth closed.
Yeah.
Go and work hard and show them your results. Don't just keep telling them, mom, I'm going to make it. Don't worry. I promise you, I'm going to do my... Just close your mouth and just go and, like, hustle and show it to them. They learn more from action. So do other people around you in life. People learn from our actions more than anything. Half of the testimonials that I got from my clients, Sadiq, like, you should work with Sadiq because he doesn't just walk. He doesn't just talk the talk. He's walking the walk with us. We literally see him as he's coaching us. We see him on social media. We see his confidence. We feel it. Every day he shows up and we see him, which is why we know that we can trust him as a coach. Because he doesn't just show up on a call every week and we just have a conversation and then that's it. Next week, you know, see you guys later. If you need help, just let me know.
Right.
No, my clients I'll hold them accountable every single day. They're communicating with me anytime they need support. I'm right there. And I give them that 3-hour block where it's like, within 3 hours, you're getting a response from me. That's how much I care about what I do.
I am so impressed by you. You just are such, you're so selfless and you keep giving all your energy, all your time, all your effort. Like, I wish I had that much to give because it's so admirable. I respect it so much. Let's give the people who are listening right now maybe a few actionable steps to see their own results. If someone is an entrepreneur, if someone has an idea, and they're an entrepreneur, and let's say they're on the more introverted side. You say there's kind of like two tracks with you. There's like the spiritual and the kind of introverted. So I want to focus actually a little bit on the introverted side because mm-hmm. I feel like those people tend to think, obviously because they're introverted, they're thinking a lot in their head. And I actually find that overthinking and that decision paralysis is one of, if not the biggest hindrance in starting the business, mm-hmm. right? So what is something that someone can do, whether it's a journal prompt or something, who's an introverted person but has an idea for some kind of business and doesn't know where to start? Besides
Awesome
hiring
question
you,
again.
no, but
Awesome question. I think number one for sure. I always talk about this, right? You have to borrow belief from action takers. So sometimes, especially introverts, because I've been there and I know how it feels, we don't have the belief in ourselves. Like we don't re even if we think we do, we don't. Because if we did, we would be taking action. We'll be executing. But because we don't, and we're trying to wait for the right time, we're trying to wait for the right day, the right month, the right portal to open up for the spiritual introverts. We're waiting for the portal, the new moon. You can wait your whole life for all of these things, guys. But at the end of the day, if you don't borrow belief from someone else, then you won't be able to be around the energy of people who are doing. So number one, you have to surround yourself with people who are doing. Whether that's following people on social media that you can actually learn from, who give you actionable advice that you can take on board and then execute on. But I also think that's very vague and it's very hard to just only follow people. That's why it's good to make friends. If you're on social media, for example, look for the people that you can make friends with, that you can add value to. Not everybody's going to want to be your friend. You need to have something to offer to them. That could be your energy, it could be your experience, it could be your talent, it could be something. But you should find a way to make friends and surround yourself with those action-oriented friends. Because I tell you what happens. As soon as you're around the energy of someone like me, who just all I know is how to do, if you're an introvert and you just surround yourself with someone like me who just always action, 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 you will naturally be enticed to be like, what are you doing, Sadiq? How are you doing it? How are you like, how do you stay focused? How are you executing on the ideas that come into your brain? Because when we have an idea, we keep overthinking it, man. We have analysis paralysis, and we just make up these stories in our head that we actually believe. I'm like, that's the thing, though. You're believing the stories in your head when all of them are fake. They don't even exist. They're a dream in your head that hasn't even happened. So logically think about it now. Is it real, the thing in your head? Is it really real, or is it just the devil, that inner voice telling you, hey, you're gonna suck. Don't waste your time. Don't do that. You know, it's not gonna work out. Just, you know, save the time, save the money, just stick to your job. It's okay. That voice is the first thing. That's the ego. That's the thing that you flush down the toilet.
Yes.
Okay, so that's the
I
first
love
thing, surrounding yourself with like action-oriented person people.
borrow
Number two,
belief. I love that.
borrow belief from people, because I think when you don't have belief, borrow it until you find your belief, then give their belief back and you carry on. And you know, like I always talk about the domino effect. So after you've borrowed the belief, give theirs back. Now you have your own belief and you found it. Now you let up, you like give out, you know, selflessly give out your belief now through content, through meeting people, through conversations. And then someone else, just like in your position 5 years from now, will be like, hey, I need to borrow this person's belief and I need to take their belief so I can believe in myself. And then the domino effect will continue to happen. And that's part of my mission, to inspire others to go and to believe in themselves, to find the confidence, to find the resilience inside of them, and then live their purposeful life. And I just want to hope that they can take the candle and or the baton and just pass it on to the next person, the next person, next person. So when I'm no longer here, just like how Jim Rohn has inspired us today and he's no longer here, I want people to remember my name from my books, from my content, from everything I leave in the world. Because when I'm no longer here, I still want to be sparking in people's memories and people talking about me and people saying, oh my gosh, that coach, Sadiq, he was always so selfless. He was always giving. He was always serving. He was always doing these events. He's always giving time for free. I want to be known for that, because I think the impact is more important to me than the money. And one of my mentors once said, the most important thing in business is not about how much money you make. People always giving themselves, I want to be a billionaire. I want to be a millionaire. I want $500 million. It's not about the number that you set yourself. It's about how you make the money is more important than how much you make. So for me, I always focus on that. That's the selfless aspect of my work. I don't want to be every other coach. I want to be that brown coach that like really serves so powerfully that people will never forget his name. And eventually, I want my name to be known all over Dubai and then the UK and then the US, and then everybody's talking about this guy.
That
And
guy.
that's the long-term mission, because I think so many people have inspired me. But I asked myself, you know, you have to have a big, hairy, audacious goal, right? So I was like, why can't I just be the Asian Tony Robbins?
Why
Like, what's
not?
stopping me? Exactly. What's stopping me? I can do it. I don't mind going to 90,000 people and talking on stage. I'm not afraid anymore.
I'm gonna put that in the show notes. I'm gonna be like Sadiq Hussein, the Asian Tony Robbins. No, but you're right. I mean, this goes back to the very beginning of our conversation with when you said, you know, why only kids get to dream. right? Like you have to keep dreaming, because if you keep dreaming, that's how you're going to keep growing and learning. If you have no dream that you're working towards, again, you're stagnant, you're not changing, you're not growing, you're not living to the highest version of your possible self. And that version changes with time. As you grow and learn more, that next version is going to be even more powerful than the one before it. I think in my next version, I am trying to be a little bit more extroverted, because as much as I used to be so extroverted, I've given speeches to thousands of people, you know, that kind of thing. But in my core, I'm introverted. I want to ask for a tip that for myself, but I'm sure that other people will appreciate as well. For someone like me who has a consulting business, who has a coaching business, something like that, I really don't like making those videos where I'm like talking to the camera. I don't have the same charisma as you, but I do know that when I am in the zone, that I'm really powerful, right? So what is a tip for someone who is an introverted entrepreneur like myself, who doesn't really have the motivation or the want to make that kind of content, where I know it's good because I'm going to be sharing knowledge, someone's going to learn from it, but I just don't enjoy, you know, putting the phone in front of me and talking to it. What is something that I can do to do more of that?
Number one.
Yeah.
Whenever you have that moment, that little blockage, that little timeout when you're making content and you know you need to do it, but you're just procrastinating, you know, you don't feel like it. Ask yourself what I ask myself. Why am I being selfish?
Mm.
Like there's someone... why am I being selfish right now? I could make this video and inspire one to five to 10 to 5 million other Filipino kids out there who can see Jillian and be like, we want to be like Auntie Jillian. So when you ask yourself that, it hits you. It really does. When I asked myself that day, Sadiq, why are you being selfish when another brown kid in the other side of the world in Bangladesh can see your video and be like, wow, that's my Bengali brother. Like, how is he so confident? And I get that from a lot of people in my community now, and they see me and they see me, they see me speak, or they see my videos. So many of my own community people will come and like DM me saying, Sadiq, like, we just want to let you know, keep doing what you're doing. That's always what they say. Keep doing what you're doing, because you'll be the one guy in our generation that our little kids are going to grow up and you're going to inspire them to work on mindset, to work on business, to be an entrepreneur, because no other brown kid is telling them that.
Yeah.
And so that's the first thing. Ask yourself, why am I being selfish? Second thing that I always tell my clients that always struggle with that, don't sit down and make videos.
Mm-hmm.
Don't just sit there and get prep and look pretty and get your camera, put it there and do the lighting, all that crap. Yeah. Get up, go walk somewhere and walk and make the video. So go out somewhere, go into nature somewhere where you got the vibe. The environment really matters at the beginning to get you going. So go out somewhere into nature, or just for a walk down the road, wherever, and take out your phone then and just ask yourself something that I ask myself, because I never scripted a single video in the last 10 years I've made.
Yeah.
Never scripted a single video. It always comes from the heart, because I think people know when you're being fake. People know when you're trying to be so professional, and they just think that's not really her. She's just like pretending to be so professional. How does she really speak? We heard her on the podcast. She don't talk like that.
She don't talk like that. I know.
Exactly.
That's so true. I mean, the few times that I have made those videos where I did enjoy it and it came from the heart, it was like when I was in Europe walking down the street.
I saw that video. I remember that video. The one, and I liked, and that's one of the reasons why when I saw your Instagram, I saw the video and you were talking in French and stuff.
Yeah.
I knew it. See, why did I remember that? Because that's one of the videos that's how I have a visual memory of when I see someone, I have to picture them. I have to see something about their profile.
Yeah.
And for me, the first time I connected with you, I remember the video of you saying, bonjour. By the way, I'm not French. And I was like, is she actually French? Or she don't look French. But you know, like, so I remember that. Why? Because you were walking, talking, and your natural energy was just coming across.
This is true. You're right, Sadiq. You're right.
So that's what you got to do for all the people listening, including you. Yeah. When you want to make more content, just go for a walk and talk from the heart. And remember, ask yourself in that time when you're making the video, ask yourself, I'm not speaking to a million people. I'm not talking to 1,000 people. I'm going to speak to this little glass device in front of me right now, but I'm talking to one person.
Mm.
I'm just directly talking to like my client. I'm talking to one human being, or just think of that Filipino kid in the other side of the world.
Yeah.
Think of them and how they're feeling right now, and how you can say something from your mouth that will inspire that soul over there on the other side of the world and be like, I want to be like Jillian. She's so right what she said. I should also make content. I should also find my purpose. How do I become more confident like her?
Yeah.
And so asking yourself that is so powerful. And then walking along and speaking from your heart. By the way, you're going to get a lot of tons of mistakes. You're going to make a ton of mistakes. You're going to have it on like the 10th goal. You're going to get all the bloopers. Good. The failing aspect is all part of the process. Love it. I laugh so much. I share it with my community. Look at all the bloopers, guys. Like, this is how long it takes even me to make a video.
Right.
Because my mum, you know, English just comes out mumble jumble sometimes. And it's like, it's not always perfect.
Yeah.
So I have to remake it. But again, the perfectionism will kick in.
Right.
Don't worry about the perfection. Just make one video that's less than a minute, that's straight from your heart, and you're adding value to that one soul, and you're reminding yourself that I'm not being selfish today. I'm being selfless.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Bosh. That's like the ending for you. They're like,
Mic drop.
Don't be selfish. Become selfless.
Oh my gosh, it's true. That's a journey that I've been on for sure. Thank you so much for sharing all of your insight. I can't wait to write up these show notes because that gem drop, the parents are so good. And you've given some real tangible, you know, instructions, not only for me, but for the people who are listening, who might be that introverted spiritual entrepreneur, which, you know, 10 years ago, when I first started my business, I never would have said I was an introverted or spiritual entrepreneur, but that's who I've evolved into. Right.
Yep.
So I'm so glad that we connected. And we had so much. We had so much fun when we had our first intro call, which was not recorded, that we almost talked for about two. I swear it was like 2 hours. We're like, we need to stop because we're not recording. This is all really good. Part of the project is for me to be a little bit vulnerable as well and to open myself up to questions, because my personality before, and I'm trying not to stick to this narrative, which is why I started this project, which was like, no questions. If I told you to do something, do it, you know. So I'm opening myself up to questions, because so many of my friends were like, you know, Jillian, we've known you for so long, but we don't know anything about you. You know, they know the person that I present to others, right? Like the boss, and don't ask questions, yada, yada, but they don't really know me. And so when I started with the art therapy, when you talk about being a vessel, I felt like when I'm talking to another Filipino girl on the other side of the world, or even one here in America, really, it's that first generation Filipino American who made the mistakes of listening to other people and letting her parents or her society or her culture guide her decisions. And she ended up where she is, and now she's trying to fix it. And for me, it was art at first to start doing that. And that's where the vulnerability started. All that to say is, would you like to ask me a question, since you're so curious as to why I have no empathy? But
do you want to go deep? That's going to be a very deep, deep one if I ask you that.
You're much better at the deep. And this is why this is why I started this project, right? To start getting used to asking questions. And then eventually I'm sure that I will find some empathy along the way.
I believe you will. I know that.
Ask because deep questions, but you're better at the deep stuff because you have all the feelings. So, you know,
I believe you have it inside of you as well. Yeah. I truly do. I think every single one of us are human, and we all have it, but I'm just that curious guy that really wants to know why or where yours has gone. Mm-hmm. Like, where did you lose it along the journey? Or because you might say that, but I won't believe it. I don't think that I don't think that you kind of just never had empathy. I believe you did. As kids, we have every emotion, every feeling.
Yeah.
But it's as we grow older, somewhere along the journey, we lost it. Someone has taken it or scrapped it away from us. And that's what I really want to go deep on. And that's the question I would want to know. Like, what do you feel like part of your childhood or part of your life, did it genuinely go away, or did it genuinely like not exist?
I don't know. I need to find a better way to describe it when I say I don't have empathy. I just don't connect to people on a deep level the way that a lot of other people do. And it doesn't happen, excuse me, naturally for me. I guess it's just, I see what I see, you give me what you give me, and then I take that and then I go. And not go like leave, but like go with the conversation or go with whatever. There wasn't a natural, I guess it goes back to curiosity, right? You said you're such a naturally curious person, and that's really, why is that person crying?
Why would you not care though? Like, imagine you were across the tube, across the subway in the US, and you just saw someone opposite you. They were fine literally a second ago. They were like watching a video and they were laughing, and suddenly they put their phone away and they were just like sitting there, and then suddenly they just start bursting out crying. Wouldn't you be curious to be like asking them, hey, what happened? I know it's not, but sometimes out of curiosity, you can just ask, are they okay? Are you okay? Like, is everything okay? You were just fine a second ago. What's going on? Why are you crying so much?
I don't. Oh God, it makes me sound so horrible. You know what? You just gave the example of being on a subway, right? And seeing someone across. I'm from New York, and you mind your business.
That's the thing, right? It's the upbringing and the environment, right?
Yeah, I don't know what else to tell you. If I saw someone else crying, I've cried myself on the subway. I don't, you know, like maybe I was thinking about an ex-boyfriend or a memory popped into my head.
But wouldn't now ask yourself, how would you have felt if someone came and asked you in New York, like, on the subway?
Why are you in my business?
So you would actually just be rude and just be like, why? None of your business, go away.
I wouldn't necessarily say it's none of your business, go away, but I'd be like, no, I'm good. Like, obviously I'm not, but that's what a
New
York...
What if it was me and I was like, nah, are you sure? Like, are you really good? Like,
well, then you just start pissing me off and then you'd annoy me and then I'd probably end up being rude. Like, okay. I don't know. Wow. So, I guess it's upbringing. It's the environment in which I grew up in, right? You know what they say, like, whatever happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. Like, whatever happened in New York never happened in the first place. I don't know what you're talking about. You know, like, that's how things are. And then I think on top of that, to relate it to, I guess that's kind of macro because that's the environment that I grew up in, to go micro with like my family structure, I guess, right? Because that's my home on the inside. Again, we didn't grow up in a house that was really safe to express yourself or to be curious or to... really just like share thoughts, of course, because we had immigrant parents. My mom worked nights, my dad worked days. They never saw each other. They were like shifts passing in the night. We had a grandma or an auntie at any given time, right? Taking care of us in between. And my grandma or my auntie wasn't asking me about anything. They were just like, did you do your homework? You know? So it doesn't, that empathy and that curiosity doesn't come naturally to me because of the macro and micro environment that I grew up in. But to your point about, you know, those of us, especially of our generation, carrying all that load and taking one stone off at a time, I realized that I lack this, you know. And here's the thing, before 2020 and before my self-healing journey or whatever, like, I didn't care that I didn't care, right? And it was,
when did you start caring?
When I went through my like self journey, which was in 2020, because I happened to go through a separation and a divorce in the middle of the pandemic, which was not timed, you know, and it wasn't a result of the pandemic. It was something that was already kind of in motion. And I started going through my healing journey at that point. And I literally, like, I wrote down, I was trying to figure out my values. I was like, what are my values? I don't fucking know. And I wrote down a bunch of words on a list, and I even called a girlfriend over and I was like, here's my list. Help me narrow this down. And she talked me through it because I'm such an external processor and I need, you know, you got to lean on your community. This is not what I'm good at. And through that process, I was like, oh, so these are the things I really care about. So what are the things I don't really care about? And before 2020, I think my sister would always say it was always about me. And that's it. You know, you're in my world. And if I'm hungry, you're going to suffer. You're all going to suffer. This is true still till this day. But just had to step out of myself in that self-love healing journey. That's why I don't care why that person's not crying. I guess it's not that I don't care why that person's crying. It's like, I don't care to know why that person's crying because I never came from a place of service. Right? Or a family focused on who taught about service. You would probably say, oh, well, you might say to that person, what's going on? Why are you crying? Maybe I can help. But like, I don't know. I also, are you familiar with human design?
Yeah.
Yeah. So like, I forget which one I am. The one that I am is the one that waits for the invitation.
Okay. Yeah.
So I'm not a manifesting generator. I'm not a generator. I'm a something else.
Yeah, I forget the name as well.
I can't remember the name.
There's so many of them because there's the human design stuff and then there's a personality test and all of it just confuses me. Yeah. So I know what I am and I carry on with my life. You know,
framework. It's just a reference. Yeah. But that's, you know, when I did that human design test and I read it, I was like, oh yeah, that's definitely it. I wait for the invitation. I am not going to give you advice until you ask me for it, because who
yeah,
am
you
I?
You need the prompts. Like you need prompts.
Yeah. You have to open the door. I'm not going to open that door. And it's not because of fear or anything. It's, I guess, out of respect, you know, in my world, right. Or in my framework, it's out of respect. It's like, I don't want anyone coming through my door if I'm not ready for them to come through. So I don't want to bust anyone else's door down. So if you're not ready to talk about why you're crying, then that's okay. If you want to talk about why you're crying and figure it out, then you can come to me when you're ready. So that's where that goes, I guess.
So one last thing then. So who are you then? Who's Jillian? If you were to sum Jillian up in a nutshell, who are you?
Oh, she is a very complex, it's funny. I'll tell you, I have three different personalities for sure. That's who Jillian is. She's comprised of three different people. I'm very much into like astrology and stuff. It's one of the ways that provides framework, you know, for me and my existence. So the three people that I am are, you know, my Cancer rising, and your rising sign is what you present to the world. Cancer is actually a water sign that's very empathetic. And that is my business profile. Jillian.patriarca, right? I have three Instagram accounts that align with my three different personalities. So Jillian.patriarca is the mask that you present to the world, right? And it's the one where I am, my Cancer rising does want to help and does want to use my skills to make the world or make other people's lives better so they can help grow and et cetera, using my organization or whatever. Your moon sign is who you are on the inside, your emotional journey. It's what do I need to be, what brings me joy? What do I need to make me happy? And that's my art Instagram. So there's Patriarca. And that's who I am on that side.
Well, like
and
that.
Then Patriarca. Your sun sign, or your sun sign, which is your zodiac sign as people know it, is Aries. And that's my, like, I have another profile, it's called Jill Baby. And that's like my kind of core person at who I am, with the no filter, you know, just like I hate everything, but also I love pasta and I don't fucking know. I think if I had to describe an Aries, someone said it was like an introvert gone wild is what an Aries. So that's who I am. I am someone who cares and uses her skills to help other people grow. And then at the same time, in order to help myself grow, I'm an artist.
Before you don't care about others.
That's why I said it's the mask that I'm presenting. I'm trying to do it. I'm trying, Sadiq, because I know it doesn't come naturally to me.
I know I'm messing with you now.
I'm trying to be better. But that's why, you know, and again, I'm the only way that you can grow. It's kind of like trial by fire, right? And put yourself through that. And so that's why I work so hard. And all of the business that I've ever, you know, my first businesses and this one is about helping other people. It was, you know, helping them organize their closets in their homes at first. And then it was helping them walk down the aisle and get their wedding through, or helping them plan their event. And then now it's helping other people get started and make changes in their lives that, you know, they feel stuck and they don't know how to move forward. So, you know, you need to help me figure this out. It's not that I don't care, but I don't care, you know, like, I don't know how to describe
deep stuff. It's deep stuff. It's another podcast episode.
It's true. I don't. That's a whole episode with a therapist or a psychiatrist probably.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's really about just going deeper and like going down. I think I forget the book's name is, but I think there's a book called Going Seven Levels Deep to Find Your Why, or something along those lines. I'll find it and send it to you.
Yeah.
I read it a long, 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 long time ago at the beginning of my journey. So I forgot what the name was, but it was something to do with going seven layers deeper to find your why, the real why.
Yeah.
Because you basically got to ask yourself why, and then you get an answer. You ask again, why that? And then you get another answer. You ask why, ask, get another answer. And when you get to the seventh layer, that's the real core, real answer, you know, like that's the actual answer. But you've got to go seven levels deep core to find the right thing. And that's what I think if you ever went down that either that book or conversation with me another time, go that deep to actually go to find that, it will come. I promise you, because the thing is, it's all a journey, and just we're taking steps to get to the journey, to just heal and really have that last Instagram account you were talking about, have that be in every Instagram account.
Like
have your full authentic self be in every aspect of your life.
That's a lot in one Instagram account. It would be again all over the place, which is also why I have the three separate ones.
It can be very organized in one. Believe me, it can be. Mine is very organized, I believe, because again, I make videos every single day and I'm very consistent with it. But I, again, my perfectionism come in, like all of that stuff happens, and I like my, you know, my captions to be a certain way. Like, so that's why I know the day I hand over my business baby or my social media stuff to a team of mine in the future, which I know I will do, that will be the hard process for me of letting go and detaching myself to let them move the business forward and me take a step back. But I'll continue to do all the videos and everything, of course, but have a team edit and make social media content and do all that stuff for me.
Yeah.
But I think it's so important for us to just really always, always, always just find our authentic self, that vulnerable version of us, and then bring it into both your business and your personal brand and mix it all together.
I totally agree with you. But now I have a question, because what is your view, I guess, on compartmentalization? Because for me, having those three separate Instagram profiles is like, when I'm in the art zone, I'm in the art zone. And when you're in like, to the art zone requires a lot of solitude. It requires me being in a very specific mindset and a very specific routine. So when I go into that zone, I'm there. When I'm in the business zone, I'm there. So for me, compartmentalizing these three aspects of my entire being is one of the ways that I cope or manage all of the different, because I have so much in me, right? Yeah. It's one of the ways that I manage all of them. So
I already know how you can make that all in one video.
Oh my God. Go.
Imagine, so I know you can do this because you've done it recently. You know that video you were doing when you were journaling? You just had your phone there recording and you're just journaling away your thoughts. Do the same thing when you're just in the zone in art. Forget about the phone.
I do that in my art Instagram. But I'm just saying, I like to keep those persons separate. And that works for me. Do you, compartmentalizing those different aspects of me is, again, what helps me move forward. How do you feel about compartmentalization?
I think when you said that, my mind was like, people want to see all of you.
In one place.
So unless you're doing something to manage all three and direct your people to all three, hey, this is my art thing, this is my business thing, this is the other. That's like, that for me, being a simplistic person, that's like way too much. That's the reason why I never had a business page and all. Like, nah, I just had Coach Sadiq and I'm going to share all of me on one page. And I'm going to just do it in a way that it's still going to bring value, because people still, I'm not trying to be selfish. I'm trying to provide value to others. But I'm going to show people, that's why I have on Mondays my fitness stuff. That's the body aspect of me.
Yeah.
Throughout the week, I have my mindset videos. That's the mind part of me. And then the soul part of me is probably the part that I don't really share the most, right? The parts that I'm praying, the parts that I meditate, the parts that I'm journaling, the parts that I'm reflecting. But that normally happens on Instagram stories when I'm just showing people like a vlog of my day, like a vulnerability aspect of it.
Yeah.
So again, that's more like that. But you see how I just have it all in one.
Yeah.
So now when people come to my page, they actually know, when they see my profile, they go through the coaching stuff, they go to the website, they kind of know, actually, you know what? This guy or this coach, he's embodying, and we can see from his actions on his page that he does actually look after his body, his mind and his soul. And he talks about these things on an every single day basis.
Yeah.
And he's found a way to compartmentalize them in one space.
Yeah.
So I would basically merge three of your account videos. Like, just imagine the videos, right? One of you doing art. I can just see this now. One of you just recording your art video. The other one of your journaling. And then another one of, what was the other account? The business account.
Mm-hmm.
So like you just on your laptop, just hustling away.
Yeah.
And just having one video of showing, like going through a story and telling people, in the mornings, this is what I prioritize. In the evening, in the afternoon, during the day, this is what I prioritize. And in the evenings, this is who I really am.
Yeah.
And just having that as like a life of an entrepreneur or life as a consultant.
Yeah.
And this is me. I'm a Filipino, you know, this age, this is what I've been through. This is my story. You know, kind of feel free to kind of follow along my journey.
Yeah.
And find ways to consistently kind of be creative with that.
Yeah.
But I think it's so easy. Like, if I was looking at those three accounts, I will find a way to put them together, because I think the biggest thing I've learned, and the reason why I'm so passionate about sharing this with you, is because people trust and believe in me when they come to my page, when they kind of feel my energy and feel my stuff, because I show, again, my actions, right? I show them how I'm living my life through my content.
Right.
And they don't have to, and it's too, these days people don't have time. So when you say to them, hey, go to my art page, go to my business, they can't be bothered, Jillian. They can't be bothered to go and follow three accounts. They just want one Jillian, and you're Jillian sharing all aspects of her life.
I hear you. I
personal
don't.
business and everything collaboratively together. And I guess for you, the most important thing is just finding your way to like having that compartmentalized version of having it in one and
Yeah.
finding how that's going to be authentic to you. I believe it's possible. As I said, I think you can make it happen. It's more about you being comfortable of like finding the process of what will work for you to create that, because obviously time, priorities, loads of other stuff happening in the same time in life. But if I was you, that's the first thing I would say, like try to put everything together, because your personal and your business is everything together, is combined. Like people buy you anyways. They always buy into you, not your
Oh yeah,
consulting, not your
for sure.
coaching, not your art. If they see all in one thing, someone might not be interested in your silly business page, but they might come to your amazing creative art page and be like, wow, this is awesome. Why don't you share more of this on your other page, Jillian? Imagine if you just had it all on one page, they'd be like, okay, you can have the highlights, art, you can have business, you can just have on Instagram the highlight sections, right? On
Right.
LinkedIn, on your featured pro on the featured side, you can have art, business, and then like me, like just authentic me or just
Yeah.
crazy me or something, like just having those on the featured. And I guess that's how you can be
Compartmentalize.
organized,
Yeah.
keep it clean, keep it organized.
Yeah.
But I get you. I do get you, because I'm even recently, right, I upgraded my branding and I was going through the whole process of trying to make everything clean and perfect and nice. And I just realized that it's never going to be perfect, Sadiq, but just put it out there and start fixing it along the way and start just figuring it out. And it just took me like over the weekend to just create a logo, get my colors together, bosh, bash, bosh, just put everything together and just kind of throw it out there. And
Yeah.
now people, and I got so many comments from people like, whoa, that looks cool. Your new logo is amazing. Like, it's just cool because now they see that. And on a Monday, they're going to see me doing some crazy fitness stuff. And they're like, wow, like we just like him because he shares all aspects of his life, not
Yeah.
just always business stuff. Because some of them are not interested in business. They got their jobs and they're happy with it. So they just want to learn about fitness, for example, or they want
Right.
to learn about like, how do I do things with family, for example. Hey, Sadie, how are you being able to prioritize all your family time and your business stuff, and you travel and you do, like, how do you prioritize it?
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. I think that's probably something to reflect on for the next phase of my vulnerability journey, right? Because if you remember, I just started painting like 2 years ago. So one day I'll combine them
All
when
in phases, all in the right timing,
it's exactly
it will
right. It's
happen.
all of those little things that build to that moment. What, of course, this conversation is one of those things that builds to that moment. So thank you for your question. Thank you for your time, for sharing your insights. I love connecting with you. If people want to find you and work with you on your one Instagram, not three, where
One
can they find
Instagram, one LinkedIn, one
what,
TikTok, one
where can they
YouTube.
find
I'm
you?
everywhere, but it's just one page. So they can find me on Coach Sadiq on every platform.
Okay,
That's it. That's how
perfect.
simple it is. Coach Sadiq, every platform. I think on LinkedIn they can even search Coach Sadiq. It should come up. If not, then my full name will come up. Sadiq Hussein would, and if they type that in, my profile will come up. But yeah, easy to find. As I said, I'd love to be of service. I'd love to add value to anybody who's listening. Come and like Jillian knows me. Everybody that knows me knows that I'm all about building meaningful connections and relationships with people. So I'm always open to just jump on a call with people. So feel free to reach out, and I'm here to be of service and selflessly give my energy to you.
You do that. Oh my gosh. Thank you, Sadiq.
You're welcome. Thank you again, Jillian. I appreciate you having me on, man.